This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 100. Tom, congratulations. We've got Nabil. We got Linz.
Yes, you do.
We got Tidy.
Hip hip hooray.
What's doing, guys?
That's all the energy.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant.
Big anticlimax.
Big anticlimax. Well, we've got a lot of, not questions. What would you call them?
Is it kind of like a mega quiz mixed with a questionnaire?
It's a questionnaire.
It's a mega quiz.
I like mega quiz.
Nabil, you...
Sorry, that was just
stop it. That's the third time you've popped.
I'm just going to sit back a little bit more.
And just have a little relax. Nabil, you were worried about your answers.
I was very stressed out. I thought I didn't have enough time to prepare.
Yeah.
I'm still not confident in a lot of my answers. I knew there were things that... There are better answers out there. Damn it, Nabil.
You're going to be judged.
I'm going to try to bring my A game today, and I hope I win.
All right. Well,
are there prizes?
No.
No. Well, you've got Skittles, you've got M&Ms, and you've got snakes you can eat.
They win a snake.
Yeah, you're a snake winner.
And now, a word from our sponsor. It's spooky, spooky, frightening Halloween time, and we here at Other Veggies Count 2 Association would like to remind you that pumpkins aren't the only carvable, perishable food out there. Potatoes, when cut up and left to brown, can look like terrifyingly angry lumps of dirt. Onions, with their layers peeled back, are not only alarming, but confronting at the same time. Old, wilted and rotting asparagus, a great substitute for sparrow's guts. Intimidating mushrooms, dyed orange, can be really off-putting. Eerie broccoli can easily be mistaken for miniature trees. Frighten your trick-or-treaters into thinking they've suddenly become giants. Hilarious. So give other vegetables the horror nightmare treatment this Halloween. You will regret it.
All right, Tom, let's kick it off to give Nabil a couple of extra minutes to do his cramming.
Yes.
With a few news stories.
Sure. We could have done a lot more, but I said nope. And I did a little bit of preparation the same way I did for the questions.
Perfect. So perfect.
Here we go. A few news stories. One I saw that, Linz, you'd be most excited by. There's been some talk for a while that there's going to be a new version of Little Shop of Horrors. And apparently...
Mixed feelings.
Yeah. Billy Porter from Pulse on TV, who recently won, I think, the Emmy. Anyway, he is being eyed as the voice of Audrey 2, which may be called Audrey Jr.
Okay.
Does that mean they're going to Audrey's going to be smaller for the whole movie?
Not if they go original ending of the film. I hope not. But the thing that has me the most excited is apparently Chris Evans, Captain America, is going hard for the role of the dentist. He wants that.
Now, in the original movie, that was Steve Martin, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Martin.
Not Chris Martin.
Oh.
He's doing Coldplay. That's terrible casting.
Coldplay. Don't sing Little Shop of Horrors.
So Chris Evans, no. Don't think Captain America, but if you remember, he was in Scott Pilgrim and he played an asshole movie star skateboarder who is super cocky with a leather jacket.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. He's basically already played this role before really, really well. So I could see him getting in there and having a lot of fun with it. And he could sing.
This guy's underrated. He can do drama, man.
Yeah, he's good.
He's
a
triple threat.
Well, he really
is. Director. He's going to be a director. That's his long-term goal.
It's a quadruple threat.
Yeah.
Not to mention a fine male specimen.
Yeah. Oh, look, I rewatched Snowpiercer recently. Even at the end of the world where he's been living in a train for 14 years at that point or something like that, he's still ripped.
Yeah.
Smoking.
You would, though.
He's the guy you want or want to be.
That's a nice way of putting it. Yeah. Which is why I guess why he was cast as Captain America in the first place. Just makes sense.
Good casting.
I'm not sold on it, to be honest. Like, the original Little Shop is a perfect film. Like when Carrie Yules on Twitter recently said that Princess Bride shouldn't be remade.
I agree.
I think Little Shop just, like, all the elements came together at the right time. It was the 80s. John Candy was there. You know, Frank Oz. It was just perfect.
Is Rick Moranis in it?
Yeah.
I'd be happy if they made it more body horror and made it scarier. In the original ending, you know, where it takes over the world and stuff.
There's a Little Shop of Horrors in the 80s is a remake of a 60s film with Jack Nicholson. So it'll be the third Little Shop film.
So many new ideas.
Brand spanking.
That was the news story that I thought might be cool for you. One that I saw today, and this isn't a TV show yet, but I really hope it is. Ron Funches is a comedian that we've talked about before. He's a very positive focus and all about affirmations. He's launched a game show live over in the US, and he's hoping that he can workshop it for a bit and then sell it to turn it into a TV show. And it's called Nice One with Ron Funches. And it's kind of a take on the battle rap or roast battle format, except it's compliments based. You have to out compliment other comedians.
Oh, he's so lovely.
Yeah, so it's a whole show about competitive complimenting.
So reverse roasting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
I could have swore there's a Key and Peele skit that's kind of like that.
There is, where they talk about just how much they love each other.
Yeah, they're office workers or colleagues, and they're like, they're going to out nice each other to each other.
Would watch.
So yeah, that's not a TV show yet. It may never be, but if you're in LA, he's workshopping it at the moment. Go along and see it and let us know.
That'd be fun.
Because that sounds like a lot of fun. And then the final news story I've got is just, I wrote down two words, RIP Fortnite.
Yes.
They blew it up. This is a big story.
Yeah.
Dude, brilliant marketing.
Isn't it?
Everyone and their mother is talking about this right now.
Yeah, and then people spending an hour or more watching a floating orb.
So what happened? The meteorite finally
hit
and it completely
destroyed the universe.
So there is no Fortnite map. There's no nothing.
Fortnite is down.
Not only that, they also blacked out every single post they have on Instagram. Everything is just black. Their Twitter account, they deleted all their tweets. They just went all out with this.
Intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be not making a lot of millions during this moment if there's nothing there. But can you imagine when it comes back?
On Twitch, I think there was 1.5 million viewers at some point just watching a black screen.
Yeah. Waiting for something.
Just waiting for something to happen.
The idea of losing money, it's not really, because they're not, you don't log in to spend the money, you buy your access and this sort of stuff. So the access is already there. And I imagine that while it's down, that's paused. So if you've got credit left on your account,
that's
it
cool.
fires back up later. Not an issue. But
Sony PlayStation's had to put out a statement saying that all your V-Bucks and stuff that you bought in-game is not gone for good. You're fine. All your stuff is still going to be there. Or like people still don't know what's going to happen.
This is the video game equivalent of when Glenn Fake died on Walking Dead. We spent months speculating, like, what's going on here?
Fortnite's under the dumpster, is what you're saying?
Pretty much.
I was thinking of the Truman Show.
Sure.
You know, when everyone's glued to the screen when Truman goes rogue.
That's nice. Yeah, that's good. So obviously a new map is coming, and that will breathe a whole lot of new life into Fortnite. So it won't just be the 11-year-old. I would imagine there'll be a lot of people who had played a little bit in the past who are like, yeah, I'll jump back in.
Yep.
I mean, it's a free game after all.
If you want to have some fun, check out hashtag RIP Fortnite and just see all the under 13-year-olds losing it, kicking televisions, screaming at their parents.
My mom's
so
cranky.
Good.
I used her credit card to buy V-Bucks.
Oh, it's not even that. It's just Fortnite's down and that's where my friends were. It's all variations on that very angry
thing. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
There was also two trailers that popped up through the week that I was quite interested by. One was Doolittle, which is Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doolittle.
I saw that. I don't know.
It feels like him doing Johnny Depp, like a weird accent that doesn't matter, mixed with Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I was surprised because his accent in Sherlock Holmes was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. No. It wasn't spot on or anything, but it was definitely passable.
It was fine.
Yeah, but this one sounded off to me as well.
I don't know what it is. But
yeah.
I mean, that's why I think maybe they're doing the Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean thing of mangling accents on purpose.
Ugh. So that they don't have to be
So then he's an international flavored character. He's not adhering to any one particular place. I don't know. Maybe it's a very poor attempt at Russian or...
Yeah, it's definitely... It's a
really bad
attempt. It's a great PR spin, though. It's like, yeah, if an actor does a bad accent, they're not doing a bad accent. They're just doing an international flavored thing so that he's appealing to everybody.
Well, it becomes iconic, like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
He barely even tried.
Is famous for his...
But you're English.
Accent.
You're the leading authority on British accents here.
I love an American English accent. It's
really?
So good. Yeah. Huh. Cool, blimey, governor. They're much better than English accents. We should just divert to doing that all the time.
Yeah, do it properly. Come on.
I think my favorite headline about it coming out was that his character should be called Tony Ark.
Tony Ark.
That's good.
That is good. That is very good.
Yes.
I was really into, like, the poster, it had Doolittle, not a people person. And I was like, Downey Jr. is, like, perfect for not being a people person. But then I saw the video for it, and they're, like, it's kind of almost period drama, like, esque, like, in the past. It's like, oh, I was hoping for him to, like, you know, hate people and, like, all that sort of stuff.
It gave me Fantastic Beasts vibes.
Sure. I see that.
Yeah. When I watched the trailer.
Yeah. So it could go either way. But the other trailer that I was a bit on the fence until I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh, I'm on board with this, was The Jungle Cruise.
So tell us what this one's about.
So this is based on a Disney ride, and it's similar in what they did with Pirates of taking something that had been there pretty much since the opening of the park and then now putting a storyline on top of it. It's Emily Blunt, and she is I think she's an English archaeologist, so she's playing very much
Indiana Jones-esque.
Indiana Jones mixed with Lara Croft. It's set in, I think, 1930s, somewhere around there.
I already like the sound of this.
She's Jane from Tarzan.
Yes, and she goes to Africa and hires The Rock, who runs a really shitty tour company that has shitty riverboats that take him down.
He's going to smile the whole time. Like, that's going to be his thing.
Well, he has all this stuff set up, the trailer shows, and it's actually using lines from the ride that have been there since 55 or whenever when the park opened. There's a part where he goes underneath the bridge and he chops this rope where people can't see and it makes water fall down. He goes, there we go, ladies and gentlemen, the eighth wonder of the world, the backside of water, which is as soon as they said that, I was like, I'm on board with this movie. But then it turns into Indiana Jones and they're fighting some sort of creatures in the forest, the mythological creatures.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. This looks really fun and it has the chance to be, like the first Pirates was, something strangely original, even though it's based on an IP. It's an IP that's very, very loose. So
lots of tricks and stuff, I thought, in the trailer. So it's like Mary Poppins, Emily Blunt's last film of her. I don't know if you saw that video of her going in the bath.
Yeah,
and, like,
that was awesome.
I reckon there's going to be lots of production tricks like that.
Yes, it looks very action-adventure. I think what they're going for is an Indiana Jones vibe mixed with Romancing the Stone.
Yeah.
That sort of, romance on the river through the jungle between unlikely pairings and this sort of stuff.
I do like the casting. I can see Emily Blunt perfect for this. Yeah. What you're describing, that's Emily Blunt.
I love her.
I haven't even mentioned who the other person is, and they don't appear in the trailer at all, but I know from the cast listing, Jack Whitehall is playing her brother, and he's like the third main character in the film. He's from Travels with My Father.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. They've got quite a cast list, haven't they? Yeah. They've got like
Edgar Wright's in there somewhere. Director Edgar Wright.
As like a cameo?
No, as a role.
Oh.
Like he's acting in the movie.
No way.
And Selena Gomez is in there somewhere.
Whoa. So she'll sing the song?
She might voice. Maybe. Or she'll voice a snake or something.
That'd be cool.
Who voiced Scarlett Johansson? That was
in The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
If the trailer gave me the first Mummy vibes with Brendan Fraser.
I'm really happy for.
That dynamic between them, between The Rock and Emily Blunt was kind of like that.
The very knowledgeable, capable woman and the shuckster who wants money.
Exactly.
Amazing. Some good trailers then.
Yes. The other one that I just mentioned, I know nothing really about, but this weekend, if you're in the States, there was something called the Avengers Damage Control VR Experience, where it's a VR movie. But it's one of the ones where you stand in an interactive space and you somehow get hired to join the Avengers in a big battle and you're wearing experimental Iron Man mixed with Ant-Man technology.
Fun.
That's every Marvel fan's dream.
That sounds pretty good fun. So
may I say wet dream.
Wet dream. I'm very keen to hear more about this. I don't think we'll get it here in Australia because I don't know if we have anywhere that runs that tech specifically. Yeah. but I hope so.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Get out of my space. That's enough news.
Oh, okay. For our 100th episode, we've got a whole heap of topics. You've all been given the list.
And some of us did more prep than others.
That's right. I feel Nabil and... I don't know, Lindsay, you're looking very confident.
I have Googled.
Yeah, right. Okay. And Steph, I know you have as well.
Totally Googled.
I went try hard with this. I didn't Google.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is from your brain.
Yes. I got my try hard pants on and you'll see.
They're a nice shade of blue, I must say.
I want some dedicated try hard pants.
I'm glad you're wearing some.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. It's not Pants Off Friday. All right, let's kick it off with favorite party movie. Linz, I want you to go first.
Just any US teen party house party.
Talking my language.
Looks amazing. Like, so I'm from the UK, so our parties are like Skins.
Oh,
everybody's naked in jelly in a bath.
What
or
about
something
human
like that?
Human traffic?
Yeah, but US parties look incredible.
Look at those red drinks,
dark
red
cups.
Yeah,
yeah.
It made you want to go to high school in the US.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think they really like that as well. They've got their big houses, and
So in that respect, I think I reckon Tom and Steph are going to have the same one.
Because we're about the same age.
Yeah. Mm.
Should we say it together at the same time? Ready? Right. Is it three words?
Yep. Yeah.
Should we wait or should
Let's
we do it together?
Three.
Should we wait or should we do it together?
I can't
hardly wait.
Oh, come on. The suspense is killing us.
I think I know what it is.
We just said it.
Oh.
What?
Can't hardly wait.
Oh, that's totally not what I was saying.
What is that?
And Jennifer Love Hewitt, one of her breakout roles, coming hot off Party of Five.
This. Let's pause. Linz can watch it. We'll come back.
Ethan Embry's in the mix.
Yeah, from
Peter
Empire Records.
Peter Facinelli. A lot of people getting their lot of people getting their early starts.
Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah. Seth Green.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just after Idle Hands or something like that. He was trying to break out of the geeky friend role.
But
he's still there.
And then still played that character.
It has the Smash Mouth classic, Can't Get Enough of You, Baby. Can't Get Enough of You, Baby. Yeah, that's right.
And my highlight of that movie is Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
A.K.A. What's
Melissa
her name?
Joan Hart.
Yeah, doing the slow clap in front of a pool.
She kicks it off.
Got to start off a slow clap in every 1990s movie with teenagers in it.
So this was, it was after She's All That.
It was.
But that was the other one I thought when you said three words that we could be going that direction because that one's great.
I don't know why I thought you were going to pick, what's that one with Lindsay Lohan as a child, the party something?
The Parent Trap?
The Parent Trap.
Yes, it is the Parent Trap.
Yeah, I think
so. Is that where she's twins?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that technically a party movie? I don't know. I've never watched it. I just know it's a...
Any movie with Lindsay's a party movie.
The Masked Singer, party all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Nabil?
I picked Van Wilder.
Nice.
He's
the party liaison.
Yeah, I know, right? He's the party liaison. It's Ryan Reynolds, what I considered his true breakout role.
And his
you
true
don't,
character.
You're hating on, two guys, a girl, and a pizza place?
Yes.
Didn't they drop the pizza place?
They did. They breathe it. It's just two guys and a girl.
Yeah. It's just all around fun movie. And I remember the whole time watching, I'm like, I'd love to be in one of Van Wilder's parties.
With the hot dog thing. That's that movie, isn't it? The cream-filled buns.
Oh, maybe not that one.
I get so many of the movies mixed up with Not Another Teen Movie. And
that's a great one.
Like those little clips, like the slow clap from Can't Hardly
that's
Wait,
right.
And then they do it in Not Another Teen Movie.
And then Not Another Teen that has the token guy at the party.
Yeah. He's trying to do it. Not now. Not now.
Well, my pick was a movie called The Party, which I used to watch when I was a kid. I must have taped it off television from 1968. Peter Sellers, he plays a character who barely even says a word. And he goes to a party. I don't think he knows many people. And he's a little bit Mr. Beanie there in that he makes all the mistakes and it's just disaster. And then at one point in time, there's an elephant and a whole heap of bubble bath bubbles.
That's my kind of party.
And that's the end of the movie. And then he leaves.
If there's a random elephant, I'm in.
Yes, okay. Well, go back in time to 1968 and you'll be good. All right, next topic was, do we even remember?
What's your favorite numerical movie?
Nabil.
I've actually just changed my answer to what I think is a much better answer. 12 Angry Men.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Nice
hands
one.
Down, one of my favorite movies of all time, really, but also definitely favorite numerical film.
That's a good one. What about you, Tom?
7.
Ah, nice.
Just if anyone, if ever I hear the phrase box, I don't even have
what's
to hear the
what's in
sentence.
The box?
That's what my brain does to me.
Same.
Yep.
What about you, Steph?
3 Men and a Baby.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
That's a really good one. It's I was thinking of that one as well.
I had trouble choosing for this topic. There were so many good movies to choose from, but that one I was like, yeah.
30 going on 13?
No one picks that.
I'm just trying to think of other ones that might have. What's the 17? Wasn't there one with Jennifer Garner?
Yep.
That was
it's the girl version of Big.
17. Yeah. You're thinking of Katherine Heigl's 17 Bridesmaids.
Oh, 27 dresses.
27 dresses.
Also 17 again.
17 again.
I do like that movie, actually.
Wait, what was Suddenly 30?
That was the one with Jennifer
13
Garner.
Going on 30. Oh, yeah.
It was
I think it had a different name.
It was the movie sequel to Suddenly Susan. Which was the spin-off from Caroline in the City,
yeah.
I think.
Okay. Yeah, it's doing my head in, and Fraser's probably in there as well. Linz, what about you? Fifth Element's good.
That is a good one.
Fifth Element, that is a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Well, I went for a sequel. I went for Ghostbusters 2 because I loved that movie so much when I was growing up, more than the first one because the first one scared me because of the librarian. Yeah.
Sure.
When they're, when they're hosing down the Statue of Liberty to higher and higher.
It's so good.
That's such a mood.
It is a mood. That's absolutely right.
Oh, my God. I think that completely went over my head as a child.
Time to watch it again.
I'm just thinking about that now.
There's a bit of that in Ghostbusters. Yeah. There's a little bit of that stuff going on. All right, next topic is let's hear your best impression of a character or an actor. I said that round the wrong way, but still means the exact same thing. Tom.
Oh, do I have to start? You know I'm just going to say it. Wow.
Love it. Amazing. Nabil?
Leave me for last.
Okay, all right. What about you, Linz?
American English accent, I do quite well, and also, you know, not blow my own trumpet or anything.
But here's a trumpet.
Also, Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors. I do better singing than speaking.
Go on,
just
go on.
Doom.
I know Seymour is the greatest, but I'm dating a semi-fadist.
That's amazing.
So I got a black eye in my arms and a kiss.
That's amazing. Very good. That was very good. What about you, Steph?
I don't want to go after that.
I'm sorry, you have to.
I totally paused.
Oh my God.
That was short and sweet. Everybody knew what it was.
Very good.
Well, mine, I think only Steph is going to know. This is French and or Saunders, Dawn French and or Jennifer Saunders, trying to do anybody with an Irish accent. How are you? And how are you too? Say that. They went really meta at one point where they were trying to do Nicole Kidman, trying to do an American accent, but sounding Irish, and it was the exact same thing. How are you? How are you too?
I know you said impression. This is more a scene.
Okay.
I can assure you, I mean you no harm. Who are you? Who? Who is but the form following the function of what and what I am is a man in a mask. Well, I can see that. Well, of course you can. I'm not questioning your powers of observation. I'm merely remarking upon the paradox of asking a masked man who he is. But on this most auspicious of nights, permit me then, in lieu of the more common sobriquet, to suggest the character of this tremendous persona. Voila! In view, a humble vaudevillian veteran cast vicariously as both victim and villain by the vicissitudes of fate. This visage, no mere veneer of vanity, is a vestige of vox populi, now vacant. Vanished. However, this valorous visitation of a bygone vexation stands vivified, and has vowed to vanquish these venal and virulent vermin, vanguarding the vicely vouchsafing, viciously voracious violation of volition.
Yes!
Very good.
Now, we need to point out, you were not reading that.
I was not reading
that. That was a lot of words.
It was all out of his brain. That was amazing.
That's Hugo Weaving. V for Vendetta, in case people haven't guessed.
Great movie, and I'm very glad that we saved you for last. That was definitely worth it.
How many
times
do you think you've seen that to know that by heart?
A bajillion, gazillion times.
It's all the V words.
It's all the V words. There's actually more to that scene, but that's the part I can confidently say.
It's nice. There's a lot of not wordplay, but it's almost like a poem, really.
It's incredible. Yeah. The only verdict is vengeance, a vendetta, held as a votive, not in vain. There's more to it. It's really great.
Sounds good.
Just go back and watch that scene.
Yeah, alone. I will. I definitely will. Well, seeing you did so well, I want to know what your favorite cameo in movie or TV is.
More of guest starring than cameo, but Chandler in The Good Fight. Has anybody watched The Good
Chandler
Fight?
Chandler Bing.
Yes, I have.
Chandler Bing from Friends. Yeah. He plays a great villain in that TV series. He's only on for like two or three episodes.
Yeah, not much.
And you just, because you're so used to watching him in Friends as like the like zingy, sarcastic guy with the comments, you do not expect him to be this menacing. Like you really hate him in only like the few minutes of screen time that he gets.
I was wrapped into him immediately that it took me that little second too long to realize it was Chandler from Friends.
Yeah.
You know, you expect to just go, oh, it's Chandler. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, hang on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a bad one, Linz.
So it's been mentioned a few times, but Little Shop of Horrors again.
Yeah.
Guess what's going to be my favorite film? Bill Murray, John Candy. Oh, they were all good.
Classic. Mm-hmm. Classic SNL people. Tom?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I had it and then it went, come back to me for a sec. Sorry.
All right. Well, I'm going to say mine was, funnily enough, Friends, when Brad Pitt came along.
That's a good episode.
Are you serious?
I just remembered my cameo because of what you said.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say we had the same one.
We do.
So,
but not Friends.
Oh, okay. So Brad Pitt in Friends, and he hates Jennifer Aniston in it, or Rachel, I should say.
It's
and
the I hate Rachel Clark.
It is so good. It's so funny. All right.
It was Ross, Brad Pitt, and the exchange student from Korea.
Love how everybody knows Friends episodes. All right, Tom.
Brad Pitt, Deadpool 2.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
goodness. A good one. That was the one where I actually had to Google to make sure that that's
what you saw is what you actually saw.
Because it was very, very fast.
Apparently it's like 3/24 of a frame.
Yet it's enough for you to go, is it?
Yep. It's enough for your brain to register but not to confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This man knows his editing. 24 frames.
I really look into that stuff. When a quick visual gag like that, I love any subliminal messaging.
Making more sense than when Joey and Rachel hooked up. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, this one is a difficult one. Your favourite peering out through a painting moment. Steph.
Look, I was a little bit stuck. But Harry Potter, where the paintings actually look at you. Yes. So I took it from a different perspective.
The fat lady.
Yes.
Mm. Was she the best painting, do you think, Dawn French?
Because it's Dawn French, so yes.
Yeah, clearly.
It's not peering out through the painting. That's peering painting.
She's the Hogwarts house painting.
But were there other good paintings that had a big part?
Not nearly as large.
John Cleese?
See what you did there.
Wasn't he a ghost?
John Cleese was nearly headless Nick. He was allowed to... Rick Mile was one of the ghosts and he largely got cut from all of it.
Oh, no.
Which sucks. Yeah. But yeah, the Rowena Ravenclaw and the house leaders have paintings that pop up and voice a few times. They're big parts of the ride.
Oh, sure. And the cats.
Yep.
The cats are good.
Argus Filch and his runaway cat.
Oh, I was thinking of the cats. What's her face?
Oh, in Umbridge's office.
Umbridge. Yes.
What about you, Linz?
Well, not eyes, but I like in the Goonies where Mouth goes, how about some tongue? Come here and give me a big last slickly kiss. That's a nice noise.
You had a fair bit of
podcast, isn't it?
But there was thought into that. I appreciate that. Mine is the Goonies for some... No, not the Goonies, the Goodies, I should say. For some reason, they had to babysit a teenage girl in a house and the house was haunted and there were paintings that would follow. The eyes would follow them wherever they went. And it was very spooky. Spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure it was the parents and the kid was, she was evil or something?
Yeah.
Tom?
I have to go with the first Scooby-Doo movie where Rowan Atkinson is the villain and he's running a haunted resort for youths and teens and he keeps very close eye on what everyone's up to.
Nabil, how'd you go with this one?
So I was English is not my first language. I was not familiar with the peering out through painting thing. Although now that you guys have given your answers, it seems to be exactly what the words suggest. I thought it was like a metaphor for something else.
Yeah.
I thought it meant like a scene from a movie that was so picturesque that it could almost be a painting. That's what I thought you meant.
So what did you go for?
The pianist. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of the scene in like the broken down house from like the war in the middle of winter, in the middle of the night. And he's just there with the jar of pickles. And then the Nazi officer finds him.
Yeah.
And he asks him, what did you do before? And he said, I'm a pianist. Yeah. He's like, play something for me. And then the music that he played was so beautiful, even though he was so broken, that he spared him. Right. And he was just like, all right, you keep going.
You can live another day.
Yeah, and there's just that scene of like they're a silhouette and it's almost like the moonlight or something coming from outside the house. Everything in the house is broken except for that piano. And he's sitting hunched over it. And the Nazi officer is just like leaning over a wall or something, completely engrossed by the music he's playing.
I haven't seen that movie for years.
I saw it recently.
Yeah, I should watch it again. Let's do paper, rock, scissors as to who goes next with this one. Linz and Steph, paper, rock, scissors between the two of you. One, two, three.
Everyone always goes scissors first. If you want to win paper, rock, scissors, always go rock. That's my trick.
So, Linz, you
Not
are the...
You're playing with Leah.
Oh, really?
She always goes
Element
paper,
of surprise.
So that's why
All right, so, Linz, best unexpected appearance. In the back of an ambulance.
I didn't know, and Google wasn't very helpful.
Is that another metaphor for something?
I like the ambulance scene in About a Boy when he's like, it was awful. It was awful, but riding behind an ambulance was fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. That counts. Yeah. All right,
thank
Steph,
you.
You came second. All right.
But I'm going to win this one. Oh. It was really good.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew I'd seen it. I could picture it, but I couldn't figure out what movie it was. So I did have to do a little bit of Googling. But Weekend at Bernie's, where Bernie is in the back of the ambulance and the doors open and he goes flying out on the gurney and off the boardwalk.
That is amazing. Unexpected.
That is very good.
Oh, wow. I mean, not necessarily unexpected that he's in there.
But it's unexpected that he's back out.
Exactly.
He's dead.
Oh, you do win.
Thank
you. You do. All right. Well, Nabil, see what you can do. See if you can get better than that.
Do you want to do scissor, paper, rock, lizard, Spock? To decide who goes first.
Against my will, but yes, I don't support that show.
You don't like The Big Bang Theory?
Not one bit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That really surprises me.
Yeah, you and everyone else that just casts aspersions at my character.
I'd love to pick your brains about that at some other time. All right. My favorite back of an ambulance was Kiefer Sutherland. Is it Kiefer or Kiefer?
Kiefer.
Kiefer.
Kiefer Sutherland at the end of Phone Booth.
Oh, yes. Very, very good. Yes.
Thank you. He shows up because the whole movie, we don't know who's this guy in the phone and the sniper and whatever. And then he shows up to him at the back of the ambulance.
Just a voice.
Yeah, it's just a voice. Really good,
that's a good answer.
For me, it has to be The Dark Knight when you've got Joker's henchman in the back of an ambulance about to be taken away and the door gets ripped open and Harvey Dent climbs in and shows that he's already well on the path to becoming Two-Face.
That's right.
Everyone thinks he's this golden bastion of hope and stuff like that. And we actually see that he's playing with people's lives with a coin.
Wow. Really all right. So I'm so glad I went last because the only thing I could think of was the TV show Ambulance where they they follow paramedics around. And there was this woman and she'd tripped over a gutter and fallen funny and it looked like she'd broken her ankle. So she was in the ambulance and they were sort of treating her. And then this really drunk guy tried to get in. Nobody knew who he was. And the paramedics had to be like, mate, can you go away, please? And he just wouldn't go. So they ended up having to drive off around the block just to get away from him so they could finish treating him. And it just made me think, oh, I don't want to be a paramedic because not only do you have to deal with really stressful situations, but really horrible people as well. Drunk people who just don't know better. This is a good one. This is one of my favourites of the questionnaires or the questionnaire. Best hacker in a movie. Tom.
I'm very partial to Matthew Lillard in the movie Hackers.
Of course.
Just gonna have
this
some
is the one
Skittles
with Angelina Jolie.
It is Angelina Jolie's first major film role.
Wasn't she married to...
She ended up marrying Johnny Lee Phillips.
Johnny Lee Miller,
not Phillips. Sorry, yeah, Johnny Lee Miller. They got married during or after the film.
Mm.
He plays Zero Cool.
And he was. He was so cool.
Such a good movie. Like, it's all, look out, I'm surfing the internet. It's one of those type ones. And it's all about hack the world and this sort of stuff. But yeah, Matthew.
It's a classic.
It's such a classic. And Matthew Lillard breezes in there so effortlessly that his character and what you see him in for the next 25 years was defined in that one film.
You're not wrong.
I got two answers for this one. One is Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
In Swordfish. Yeah, that's right.
No distracting that man.
I know. And the other.
We don't need to go into that.
And the other one is Alan Cumming. Does everybody know who that is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From GoldenEye.
Sure,
I'm invincible. And then like he, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know why I did it with a French accent. I think he was meant to be Russian or something.
And I think he's Scottish or something, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh,
Irish?
Is he?
Scottish.
I know Nightcrawler's German. What? He plays a lot of different ethnicities.
Mm.
He's a chameleon like that.
He so is. And always has fabulous hair. Linz.
I'm going to go Tom Cruise, an inch from the floor in Mission Impossible.
Mm. Iconic.
Hacking nice. By USB.
Absolutely iconic. Steph.
I don't know who it was, but Revenge of the Nerds.
Just all of them.
You know, and they're sitting in their made-up sorority or fraternity, I mean.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. And they're sitting there hacking something or other.
Could you scream nerds angrily for me like they do in that movie?
Just nerds!
Like, could you scream it now not as close to the microphone?
No.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I had two. Because, of course, I immediately thought of Sandra Bullock from The Net, where she
classic.
Had to hack because someone had stolen her identity.
Mm. How could you do that backed up on a floppy? Like, 95, that's an impressive tech.
It really is, right? Mm-hmm. It's very impressive.
CD-ROM, CD-ROM, trying to pretend I know.
So, but my absolute favorite was when Steve Sanders from Beverly Hills 90210 had help from a junior or freshman to hack the school's computer system so he could get better grades. Yeah. That was it. He got caught in the end. Oh,
one thing I always think is funny about movie hacking is if I were to hack something, which I couldn't, but if I were going to, I would assume I'd need to use the mouse maybe just a little bit or possibly a lot and not the keyboard.
I never use the mouse.
Never.
I will confirm a lot of my friends in college were computer science majors, and like they were, I would watch them. We'd all study together sometimes, and they'd be coding.
No,
and they do sometimes even go out of their way not to use the mouse. They'll be using their laptop.
Really?
It's a point.
Yeah,
it's because you're actually writing in a different language, and so you don't need the mouse because you're not visually interacting with the format. Yeah. It's all run in lines of code.
Exactly. Yeah.
When I've you're done my time,
you code.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Right. He's more of an authority to talk about this. So you don't really need the mouse.
I just thought they were using the keyboard because it looked better. But
and you get the nice little sounds.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of hacking actually used to happen at public payphones, and that's what happens in Hackers, but it was the idea that you would run on a transportable system without a mouse.
Interesting.
Yeah,
mouses,
cool.
Mice are for noobs, basically.
Yeah, right.
You want to use a mouse pad then.
Yeah. <that's right>. Linz, who was your favorite animal sidekick in a movie or TV show?
I got Penfold, Danger Mouse. Oh,
nice.
Mole.
That's good. Now I've got the song stuck in my head and I'm not sad about that. That's really good.
Animal psychic of an animal.
Yeah. Well, actually, mine's the same. I was going to pick Milo and or Otis, whichever one was the dog from the movie Milo and Otis. Even though they were, you know, besties, but cat's always in charge of stuff like that. You know, dog goes, does crazy things. Steph.
Scooby-Doo. But then, is he the sidekick? Because
oh, he's
it's
Shaggy.
Named, yeah,
true.
It's named after Scooby.
That's right.
True.
He's the star.
But yeah, they're hiring the mystery team, so he is not the star in universe of that team.
True.
We know the show is Scooby Doo and the Mystery Crew or whatever iteration it is. But I think within that universe, he's just their dog that no one acknowledges really talks.
That's right. He's Shaggy's dog mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Scooby.
Scooby.
All right, Scooby. Nabil.
The dog in I Am Legend.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I loved that movie so much, but then I knew that I was only ever going to watch it once because of the things that happened.
Mm.
I need to rewatch that. It's been a few years.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Tom.
I'm going to go with Britney Spears' Albino and Yellow Python from the maybe 2000 VMAs.
Oh, iconic.
Really iconic. Yeah. That, yeah. It put in work.
I think Dom wins this one.
It made her work.
Well done, Tom.
Thanks. I was going to say the dolphin from Sequest DSV, but I've brought that up so many times, no one knows what I'm talking about. I'm convinced I've imagined this.
Well, speaking of no one knowing what this is about, best use of lens flare. Let's first off, who knew what lens flare was? Okay, so there's two. It's only two-fifths of this room that had no idea and had to Google it. So I'm going to say I Googled and figured out what it was and then went, I'm pretty sure a lot of that was in Interstellar. So I picked Interstellar.
Very nice.
Yeah,
you could have just looked up J.J. Abrams, and generally the first thing listed under his name is lens flare.
Yep.
So is your favourite J.J.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hands down. The first Star Trek, the reboot that he did, gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about lens flare mixed with zero gravity, which is why Interstellar uses it, why I won't say other films in case any of you want to say them, but it works really well because we're used to seeing lens flare happen on Horizon, that when you see it in a horizonless setting, it's mind-blowing.
True. Oh, I never thought about it that way. You're
right.
Because
we're only ever seeing half the picture.
All right, Nabil.
I'm going to let you read my answer there.
J.J. Abrams in every J.J. Abrams film.
Pretty
nice.
Much.
That's nice. Good. You nailed it then. All right, Linz.
The ice skating scene in Flashdance. When the camera gets down, and she's all in the fog.
Yes,
is a good one.
That's very impressive.
I didn't have one, so I'm copying Lindsay.
Okay.
I'm just in the middle of a orange Skittle at the moment, so
they're the good ones.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
How shit is it when you're not quite looking, especially when you watch a movie in the dark and you accidentally put in three yellows at once, yellow Skittles? You're like, oh my god,
that's
I didn't even combine
it.
Anything.
Yeah. This is not a questionnaire, Steph, but what's your favourite Skittle combination?
Red and purple.
Correct.
Correct. I love the wrong answer. There's a right answer to this question. Did you think this was about personal preference? You fool.
Favourite TV show spin-off, Linz?
I'm extremely lowbrow, so I'm going to go Abby's Studio Rescue from...
Abby Lee Miller?
Dance Moms.
Yep. Is that like Gordon Ramsay's...
Sorry, not sorry.
Make another season.
Nabil?
I had an answer, but I just thought of a better answer like literally 3 seconds ago.
Okay.
Was it Abby Lee Miller? That
No. My answer was The Good Fight.
That was my answer.
All right, you can still have it because I changed my answer too. The American The Office as a spinoff of The English The Office.
Yeah, that's really good. Tom?
I'm going to be an elitist wank here and pull out some obscure... early 2000s British comedy, a show called Man to Man with Dean Lerner, which is Richard Ayoade from the IT crowd, Moss.
Oh.
With the fro. And it is a spin-off of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which is a fake show set in the 70s about a Stephen King horror writer who has a haunted hospital, asylum type thing that he runs. Dark Place is a 20-year retrospective looking back at what was made, and then this spin-off show is that character's manager somehow gets given a late-night sleazy talk show where he has people on and just tries to get in their pants. It's so weird. It's such a good spin-off. There was only 6 episodes. Really hard to find. Man-to-Man with Dean Lerner.
So, Tidy, yours was?
The Good Fight, which is a spin-off from The Good Wife.
Yep. All right. Well,
and they're both spin-offs from The Good Place, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, no, they're not.
That's true. So mine is a TV show that was a spin-off of a skit. Actually, there are two that are spin-offs from skits. The first one will not be a shock, but there was a French and Saunders skit about a mother and daughter turned into be a TV show called Absolutely Fabulous. And the second one was a skit from a show called Big Girls Blouse. It was Australian, and that was turned into Kath and Kim.
Yeah.
Sure, that's the same as SNL, isn't it? A lot of their skits turn into films, especially Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's right.
All ones and Wayne's World.
Chris Rock for a bit there, way back in the day.
It's actually Big Girl Blouse's anniversary this week.
Oh.
20 years, I think, since they started.
I don't remember it being hugely popular.
Apparently it wasn't. No, it was. And then, I've forgotten it now, some other show came on the rival network at the exact same time, something like Survivor or, something completely different, and it wiped their market out entirely.
Poor Kath and Kim. or Jane Turner and Gina Reilly. Best worst remake slash reboot, Nabil.
The Amazing Spider-Man as the worst reboot.
So we're talking Andrew Garfield,
yep.
Number one or number two?
Both.
Not a fan of either.
Not a fan of Andrew Garfield, really, honestly.
He only did two, didn't he?
That's all he was allowed.
Yeah.
All right.
And best remake reboot for me is Star Trek with Pine, mm-hmm. Chris Hemsworth. A lot of people don't remember that, but he's actually in that movie.
Big names.
Work, George.
What's that?
He plays George.
Yeah, he plays
his dad. Yeah?
His dad, yeah, and he dies like
that's right.
Off screen. Well, no, not really off screen, but and also Zachary Quinto as Spider-Man, who's amazing. Mm. Yeah,
Steph,
I'm going to put in the new Vacation movie as best.
Ooh,
yeah,
you did really enjoy that. You just want to really see Hemsworth funny. Dong, don't you? That's your mission
he
in
gives
life.
Me plenty of opportunities as well.
Oh god, it was funny.
It was so funny. I haven't had a movie in a really long time make me put my phone down and just laugh out loud continually throughout the movie. So I'm giving my tick of approval to that one.
Nice.
I'm going to say I'm just going to pick a worse one because that was better than what my best one was. The worst one for me would be Total Recall.
Sure.
The movie, the remake was fine, except you were constantly referring back to the old one in your mind, and you're like, oh, they didn't do that. Yeah. Oh, they didn't
there's
do
no
that.
Get your ass to Mars.
No,
there's
there was
no
none of that.
See you at the party, Rick. There.
That's right. That was so different. It was not fun.
Baby, you make me wish I had three hands.
That's why your Arnie impersonations, Tom, I've realized by now, are so good.
Oh, thank you.
You're really on
I've
it.
Had some practice there. Just a little bit.
It's been busy. Lynn's.
My favorite is Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
Emma
good
Watson.
One.
I thought a little bit better, but even though the film is pretty iconic.
No, Angela Lansbury, though, right?
True.
So that
Emma Thompson did try her best.
Yeah, but not being Angela Lansbury.
Yeah,
but she
could have. She had her try hair pants on.
She did.
She did.
They were blue. It was very nice. Sorry.
My worst. Yeah. Sorry to be a man, baby, but I'm going to go Ghostbusters, the ladies reboot.
Yeah, I wanted to like it, and it was fine, but it was nowhere near as good as the original two.
You kept referring back to the other one, going, oh, that's the spin they've taken.
Especially now we know that it was one of your favorites growing up.
That's right.
I'm Kate McKinnon. I can't decide on character traits.
I thought Kate McKinnon.
She's the only good part about that film, but she couldn't decide what her character was.
But she was so different. Her character was so different. It was jarring. But anyway.
My worst is the shot for shot remake of Psycho by Gus Van Sant from 1997, I think, maybe 99, starring Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, I was going to say, man,
really?
That's a good pick. That's a really, really bad remake.
It just frustrates me on so many levels.
Unnecessary. No one asked for it.
Yep. And my best reboots, I won't say remakes, but my best reboots are both ones that aren't particularly, they're not critically enjoyed. But they have a soft space for me. I really enjoyed the Land of the Lost remake with Will Ferrell and Danny McBride from a few years back, which was a 70s TV show. It came and went very quickly. Mm. And the other one was the Matt LeBlanc starring version of Lost in Space.
Oh,
I do. I grew up with that version.
Yeah, which is really, really cheesy, but it took that cheesy 60s and put it in a blockbuster movie that really connected with me as a young.
That's not the original?
No, it's a TV show.
That's a reboot of something from the 60s?
Yeah. And
I watched this as a kid thinking this was a new thing.
No, so it was
I love that kid stuff.
It's a really big series from the 60s, maybe even early 70s, but way back then. Same sort of period as Gilligan's Island and that sort of
stuff.
You're
blowing my mind right now.
So, yeah, it's the same with Land of the Lost. Land of the Lost, I think, was Marty and Sid Croft, the guys that did H.R. Puff and stuff, this sort of stuff. It was a really trippy area of making things with practical sets.
Gary Oldman haunted my nightmares for days after watching this. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, as I said, they're not critically adored films by any stretch, and Land of the Lost is bad. I'm happy to say that. It's a bad movie, but it is a few guys who clearly loved that show growing up having a lot of fun playing around with dinosaurs.
Passion Project. Just quick side note, surprised nobody said Jumanji.
Oh, yeah. I did like it.
Me too. That was good. I'm quite excited for the second one.
Yeah.
All right, this one I found a bit difficult. I don't know about anybody else. But favorite use of the Walking on Sunshine song in a film?
Can I give some context to this question? I did a quick look at what's the most used songs in film. And this, I believe, was number two on the list. Number one, I'm not going to spoil. You can go and have a look for yourself.
Okay.
But yes, this was the second most used song in film history, especially in trailers.
Yeah, right, okay. Well, I did a Google, and the movies that it was in, I either couldn't remember that it was in it or I don't remember if I've seen it. I think there was a Mr. Bean movie that it appeared in.
That was my answer, in Bean, the movie.
Is that the first one?
Yep.
Because he did two, didn't he?
He did. The first one was where he goes to LA and disrupts the house of the guy who used to be on Ally McBeal.
Yeah, wasn't
Not
he?
Not Peter McNichol. How is this coming to me? I don't know.
Wait, is he the one with the curly hair?
Yeah, and they're constantly furrow brow, like, the CIA is going to investigate me for compression or something. I don't know.
So he's not the one from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, yeah,
painting.
He is.
He's the same guy. Yeah.
Viggo the Destroyer.
Yeah, well, yeah, but the guy that he possessed.
Oh,
that guy.
The one that just happened to be in the neighborhood.
That's it. Yeah. Anybody else walk on sunshine?
I also had to Google this 3.6 seconds ago. And that's the only question I had to Google. And I will say American Psycho.
Oh, good. Yes.
Look Who's Talking.
What's that?
Look Who's Talking.
I love that movie.
I used to watch that movie all the time.
I might be wrong.
They were the two that we used to watch. We didn't watch the third one.
Yeah, Look Who's Talking, Look Who's Talking 2. Look Who's Also Talking.
Was that
the third one? Yeah, with the dogs.
If they made a gritty reboot today, but Look Who Won't Shut the Fuck Up.
Yes.
I almost choked on my M&M.
Have a snake instead. They're far more less dangerous. Far more less dangerous? What? Okay. Favorite use? Oh, no, I've done that one. Best soundtrack, Linz.
Teen Wolf.
Has it got some crackers in there, does it?
Does. Shooting for the Moon when he's taking the shot. Goes in slow motion. Look it up. Shooting for the Moon by Amy Holland.
All right.
And it's got Big Bad Wolf. I'm a big bad wolf.
That's right.
It's got the 80s vibes. Yeah,
it's a good movie. Tiny.
I chose Romeo and Juliet.
So that's Baz Luhrmann's. Yeah, that was a hot soundtrack. What about you, Nabil?
I really struggled with this one because I have so many songs that I love from film. So I'll say favorite song from a movie is the villain song from The Princess and the Frog, Disney film, and it's I Got Friends on the Other Side.
That's a really good song.
I jammed to this song in the car all the time.
What's his name? Dr.
Zavago? No. Dr. Facilius? Something like Facilius or something.
I always think of Dr. Demento, but he's the radio guy.
No, it's such a good song. I'm going to play it for you guys after we're done with the.
Yeah, that sounds good. What about you, Tom?
Best original soundtrack, so songs written for the film, is Requiem for a Dream. I think that's Clint Mansell, very, very early work, and it's haunting shit.
That movie's full on.
Yeah,
I just remember Dr. Facilier.
That's it.
Dr. Facilier. He's the villain.
I saw that on a t-shirt. Okay. And then best soundtrack, like collected songs stuff, is Shaun of the Dead. It's a very good one.
Really
it's
good.
Out of print now and stuff, but all the songs have at least one line that relates back to the idea of society collapse.
So they thought about it.
Oh, yeah, everything's there for a purpose. A lot of it, they paid for all these songs to use in the film, and they might use less than 8 seconds worth in the bit where he's flickering around the channels and it starts to assemble a story with all the news clippings and stuff.
That's right, yeah.
The music in the background, at one point he like flicks on and it's the Smiths with Panic in the Streets of London and then flicks to the next one. So they spent
very clever
millions of dollars making that joke.
I swear to God, this movie is almost an art house film.
It's so good. I've watched it at least Cult 42
for sure.
times.
Yeah.
42. So mine is and forever will be Star Wars. I will literally just pop that on in the background. In fact, I realized the other day I was walking somewhere and I was in a rush and I was like, huh, I think I always walk to Darth Vader's theme.
Nice.
Because in my head I was like, dun, 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 dun. And I'm like, I think I do this all the time. So I'm going to say.
Imagine yourself in a big black cloak and helmet.
I'm very important.
Walking through the aisles of Woolies. Dun, dun, dun.
I have changed the terms of our agreement. Pray I do not alter them further.
But best soundtrack, I also. One of my favorite memories for the last year or two was I had some friends around. We were playing Game of Thrones Risk and we were playing the Game of Thrones soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the game so – you were so much more invested and it was stressful. You were like, I'm battling over Winterfell right now.
Did the game come to a grinding halt when there was the Ed Sheeran level?
Funnily enough, yes. All right, what show do you know so well that you can identify the episode's storyline within the first 2 minutes? Now, I'm hoping there's one program that gets mentioned a couple of times. So, Tom?
You know it's Lost.
Of course. Yeah.
That's an easy one. Nabil?
Friends or The Office?
I think I'm there with The Office as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love that show.
Yes.
Well, for me, Friends is one where I go, this is the one. And funnily enough, that's what they're all
about. Yeah, watch it as well.
Oh, yeah, you sit there and watch it. What about you, Linz?
Quantum Leap.
Oh, no.
By the time he said, oh, boy, I don't know what's going on.
I used to watch that.
It's great.
Such a good show.
Great TV show. Early 90s. Mm.
Now, you'd think I'd be embarrassed by this, but I'm not. The Gilmore Girls.
You did do a lot of that, Gilmore Girls.
Well, they
watching.
Probably give you a lot of clues because they condense an episode of normal TV's dialogue to the cold open.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
That first 2 minutes. Hey, yeah. Do you want coffee? Yeah, let's have coffee.
I went on the studio tour in Warner Brothers and I was the person that was like, that tree. Now, that tree was da 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 da. And then that brick, they were standing on that corner when they did it.
Nerd.
Yeah, I think you'd agree to that. Lines from movies or TV shows you use in everyday life. Linz.
Come along, Banks children.
Yes, you say that a lot.
Do you say that to your children?
Yes.
Yep. Nice.
Anytime I need to rile some children.
We only have one child and she refers to her in public as children.
Come along, Banks great. Children.
That's phenomenal. What about you, Steph?
Most lines from Absolutely Fabulous. One of the biggest ones is not talking to your pats. Whether we're talking to you or not, we just replied to that to everyone.
And drive faster. And this water boils rather quickly. That's because there's less of it. Huh. Nabil.
My man. My main man.
Yes.
That or whenever somebody around me says, surely, blah, 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 I'd be like, don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's classic. Tom?
I have two. One is Cool Beans from Hot Rod. I can't help but someone says, is everything good? And I'll be, cool beans. Cool beans. And I've infected everyone else with it. So apologies. This has to be the all right, all right, all right.
Like, yeah.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It comes out a lot.
A lot of people do that one.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or, hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
I think I want to ask Nabil this one first.
Mm.
Most famous actor you've ever met because you worked in radio.
I did. So there are, I don't know who would you consider more famous, Mark Strong or Sacha Baron Cohen?
It depends what circles you move in, doesn't
yeah.
it? Comedy
so
or drama?
Sasha.
Big ones, though. Yeah.
Sasha. I mean, I met both. Mark Strong, I actually did interview. Sacha Baron Cohen, I just met him, but it wasn't like a.
So he's a tall guy, but you are as well.
He is freakishly tall. He's taller than me.
Is he taller than
yeah.
you?
I asked him if he would do a Borat impression. Well, not impression. He is Borat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he said, like, it's just like, it's not in my contract. It's like something, a clause in my contract forbids me from doing it not on set or something. I think he just didn't want to do it. People probably ask him all the time.
I don't know. Maybe there's character rights tied up somewhere because it's been a long time since he's done anything for the BBC and a lot of those characters originated
over
the
said.
UK shows.
This was back in 2012 maybe when I met him. So he still hadn't done any of the other stuff that we know him for today. He was still very much just known for Ali G and Borat.
Yep.
And that was it.
Oh, isn't everyone knocking down the door wanting to talk about what was that demon baker of Fleet Street you made me go see? Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
In that one.
That's a name.
I'm Sacha Baron Cohen and I've got a Geordie hat. I can't be bothered with an accent. Like, fuck you, Tim Burton, you fuck.
Strong views. Linz.
Well, I've met a lot of musicians, but actors?
Yeah.
I used to be a trolley dolly on the train, so I'd have to go through the whole train. Any nuts, crisps, that
wow,
kind of thing.
Wow, so English.
And it's very English.
Yeah.
And Julie Walters was hiding in the side.
That's great.
Part.
And I can't believe it's called Trolley Dolly.
Trolley Dolly, yep.
As in like, hey doll, like a... the way to call a woman
yeah,
doll?
Very, very demeaning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I can't believe.
Also kind of fun.
But if you make it rhyme, it's okay.
I know, right? It's like it's in a rhymey, it's almost like roly-poly, whatever.
I'm literally for this moment finding out that it's not trolley doilies. I thought it was someone that came around and set the place for you and stuff. So it was a trolley doily.
No, like I'm the dolly.
She's the dolly.
All right.
I'm the dolly pushing the trolley. Trolley dolly.
This show would not fly in America.
That makes more sense. Well, what would they call her? The snack wench?
Something.
Now, I'm going to put met in inverted commas.
I really hope it's someone that was mentioned before.
Oh, come on. It was a dream. That's going to be the end
not
here.
Not a dream.
And then I woke up and it was a dream.
Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise.
Oh.
You did. I just won.
Did you?
Where did you meet them?
Please tell me it was a BMX race meet.
No, it was at the opening of Fox Studios and I was one of the losers in the crowd and they came over to us.
No
and we
way.
Were like, Tom, Nicole. I'm calling that Met.
See, I'd completely forgotten about one before and you were there, so I thought you were going to say it. So, and I've now changed mine. I was in New York with Steph and we were having a wander through streets and we walked past this weird guy who was leaning up against a wall with a pillow, like he had a pillow up against his head. So, and we were like, and he's like, sorry. And that was Alan Cummings.
Huh, no way.
He was having his photo taken.
Do you remember? In Central Park.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We saw Amy Adams filming. What was the movie?
Enchanted. Please say Enchanted.
Yes, Enchanted.
It was Enchanted.
Yes.
No way.
Such a good film. Past the Valley of Joy.
To see the trailer and go, that was the movie that we're watching. Because
all the animated stuff wasn't there.
Yeah, and it was past the fountain. So there was a few brides and there was, you know, some trapeze people and then these two people dancing in the front were thinking, what is this? What is this movie?
What's going on? And also in Vegas, there was a weird guy that was staring at us and we're like, what is that weird guy staring at us with that stupid tattoo on his face? I'm scared of Mike Tyson.
No way.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys sound funny. Where are you from?
Tom, because so you win. This is
I'm
going to
play
winning.
This game. One of the most... first world problems I've ever had in my life was I was going to a hotel to interview Keanu and I knew Robert Downey Jr. was on the floor above there to talk about Iron Man 2 and I was in such a sulk that I didn't realize until the last moment that the lift I was in waiting in going to meet Keanu, Elton John was in the lift with me.
Oh my God.
And he was about to go out and I was just like, oh, I like your songs.
What did he say?
Thank you. off he went. That was all. But yeah, that was. I nearly met Robert Downey Jr., which was.
You could have got the hat trick.
Oh, when I told this story, but I don't focus on that too much. People were like, yeah, but you met Elton John and Keanu in the day. I'm like, yeah, but not Iron Man.
But RDJ, baby.
Come on. We want to know. Keanu, is he really as nice as.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Does he talk in a really soft voice?
No. He talks in a way that's loud enough that he's talking to you and it's not for anyone else.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice.
I don't know. I interviewed a lot of people that make you feel comfortable. He was the one person that made me feel like I was as important as him.
Do you know what
I mean? It was one of those. He was just as interested in asking me questions and talking about stuff.
Great.
Very, very rare.
Wow. What a human being.
Yeah, he definitely is. Who wants to warm themselves up for their favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger catchphrase?
I mean, we got to let Tom go first here as well.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Don't you? You could eat my cookies. Jingle all the way.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Nice. Nice.
There is no bathroom. That's from Kindergarten Cop.
Well,
he's
I'm
telling kids that they can't go to the toilet. Yeah.
As a teacher, do you tell kids they can't go to the toilet?
No, because you have to clean it up later.
Let
them go.
Arnie, rookie mistake. Well, mine is, it's not a tumor.
That was mine.
Well, say it then.
It's not a tumor.
That was a real siblings conversation just then. Weirdest thing you found out about Woody Harrelson, we all had to do it. I also realized I misspelt his name. Didn't I? Harrison?
Well, I'm going to go first then because of that. Because I was going to say the weirdest thing I found out about him in this moment is that his name is not Woody Harrelson. I thought it was Harrison because that's how you wrote it. I was like, have I been saying it wrong this whole time?
No, it's just a Leah spelling.
All right, so it is Harrelson.
Yeah, it is Woody Harrelson.
My weird thing I found out was from Lynn's because she noticed that he and Billie Eilish, who is a teen pop star at the moment, have been paired up on a bunch of things together. And
really?
Yeah.
They're fighting climate change or something.
Yes. So that's what I thought was weird. And then you made a very intelligent, salient point about trying to get them on, about them being on screen together, of how difficult that would be for a color grader.
Yes. Woody Harrelson is very mid-tone and Billie Eilish is very bright and fluorescent in places.
Yeah.
That is something that nobody outside of doing
you'd have to do a split screen to color grade them.
Yeah, you'd refuse to have them on screen together. The one that I've got is the one that you told me.
Yeah.
So he went to uni and one of his classmates was Mike Pence.
Huh. Oh, wow.
As in VP Mike Pence? Wow.
Weird, right? Man. Like, can you imagine two people less likely to be in classes together?
I wish Woody put in a bit more effort at trying to make him a cool dude.
I think he probably gave up. Best fake president in a movie or TV show? Lynns.
Instead of a president, I'm going to say King Ralph.
Oh, yeah. I'll approve that. I think that's a good answer.
That's good. That's good. Nabil.
Jamie Foxx in White House Down.
Very good as well.
I like that one.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah.
What about you, Tidy?
Julie Louise Dreyfus.
Yeah. Nice.
That's a good one.
Tom? Wait, she becomes president?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
for about that long.
Okay.
It goes very south very quickly. Right. Then she sells her soul. It's good. For me, it has to be Bill Pullman in Independence Day.
That was mine. Yeah.
Such a great speech he gives at the moment.
Probably the most famous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I reckon if it was, what's that, Family Fortunes, when they put the best, and the top answer is Bill Pullman.
It would be
in
Bill
Independence
Pullman
Day.
Every time. You're absolutely right. All right. Who's the best bad guy in a movie or TV show? Lynn.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, good. That's good. Very, very good one. Tom.
Hans Gruber in Die Hard.
Oh, that's a good answer. That is a really good answer.
He has the greatest on-screen fall of anything in anything ever.
Mm-hmm. Best use of the Wilhelm scream as well.
It's very rare.
Which is used a lot. Steph.
Dr. Evil in Austin Powers.
Nice. Nice one. Nabil.
Kind of like a very vanilla answer, but I can't argue with it. The Heath Ledger's Joker.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely iconic. Mine is Big Helmet from Spaceballs.
Oh, that's really good.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What are we up to now? Best on-screen death. Tom.
I think we talked about it last week.
Did we?
Yeah, I think my favorite on-screen death is and at the end of Day of the Dead when the colonel gets ripped apart by the horde and he screams at them, choking it.
Yikes.
He pops like a party cracker. And like literally on the ground, and then all starts coming out and they're eating his innards and he screams at them as his head gets pulled off.
Wait, are we doing joke answers or real answers?
Real answers. What's your favorite on-screen death?
Yeah, okay. The Core, one of my favorite sci-fi films of all time.
Good movie.
Delroy Lindo, who's the black guy, when he goes, they draw short straws and he fake draws the shortest straw on purpose. And then they're like, stop it. Like, you don't need to die. And he's like, this is my ship. If she needs blood, it'll be my blood. And like, he goes and like schmelts into the tube just to like fix it and like saves everybody. A lot of really good deaths in that movie. Stanley Tucci's death also, really ironic and funny. And there's the French guy who plays like Serge. He's like, not the whole world, just three or something like that. That was probably a terrible accent.
Not a bad accent.
No,
that was good.
That's not bad. Lynn.
I didn't really have an answer for this, but does the English patient die? Because I
cannot remember.
I like the sort of drawn out death, and anytime somebody's like over hamming their illness,
I like to be reminded of
mopping the brow.
I thought you were going to say Tom Hanks in Philadelphia because he milks that shit.
That is the movie.
Philadelphia 2. Don't get AIDS again.
Yeah, I like a long, drawn-out death. That's not a request.
That's just favourite movie
just
death.
Just visually.
Right, yeah. Steph?
I had two.
Ooh.
So I had the tearjerker one, which is Julia Roberts in Steel Magnolias. Mm. You know, you can't watch that without tears coming down your face.
Oh, sure. And what's that one? Did you ever know that you...
That's the Beaches?
Beaches. Yeah. You're going to cry at that as well.
And then my second one for most dramatic unnecessarily... is the Wicked Witch of the West. I melting.
We know, we can see. You don't have to give us a running commentary. Mine was Obi-Wan Kenobi when he was, you know, obviously having the lightsaber fight. And then he just put his hand up, arms up. He was like, just go for it. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It's a really classy one. I'm surprised nobody said, the bees, not the bees.
Lost opportunity. Yeah. Damn.
There's so many more that we could go.
Yeah. Well, he is the talk of the town. In fact, I know of one particular person in this room who did their weekly podcast about a Joaquin Phoenix movie. I wonder who that is. So what is your favorite Joaquin Phoenix movie, Nabil?
Her.
I really like that too. Yeah, that is a great movie.
Siri was really good in it.
Outstanding performance.
Did you see that there's a, not a spoof, but there's, I think it's called Jinx or something that's just out in LA at the moment. It's a limited release going wide, but it's a flip of that concept. Adam Devine plays the guy and Siri falls in love with him. And she starts.
No, that's kind of creepy.
She starts cyber stalking and ruining his life from
like
the
that.
Digital end.
It's a short?
No, it's a full film.
No way.
But it's a comedy.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
I know that there's two people in this room who will definitely say one of my favorites. So I'm going to say the other one. I'm going to say Walk the Line. He was really good
that
in
was
that.
Yeah. Really good one.
You know, he had all the gestures. For me, he was Johnny Cash, and he won the Oscar, didn't he? I know Reese did.
I can't remember now.
Oh, they just both nominated. Let's not Google. Let's just ask Stefan Lins on the count of three what your favorite Joaquin Phoenix movie was. One, two, three.
Parenthood.
Gary.
80s.
Yeah, it was such a great movie. Watched it not long ago and it still holds up.
It does, doesn't it?
Your lower intestines.
I think it's going to be a toss-up between Signs.
Yes, yeah,
which
yeah.
I completely forgot that he was in that because he was overshadowed by Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
But I quite enjoy him in that, and also Hotel Rwanda.
Wait, he was in Hotel Rwanda.
He has
Rwanda?
A very small supporting role, but like I forgot that he was in that. That's just a great movie.
No Gladiator.
No.
You really hate him in Gladiator though. So I think it's like the.
This
that's
is the true. Point.
Yeah. I don't love the movie. Sorry.
All right, let's get into some Aussiness. Favorite Aussie actress, Steph.
Toni Collette.
Good one. Lynn's.
I'm going to go for Olivia Newton-John purely for her performance in the music video, Let's Get Physical.
Oh!
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Xanadu for a second.
Isn't that Xanadu? Oh, yeah. that's the rollerblading
yeah.
one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's a roller skating. Sorry. It's before blades. Nabil.
I'm going to say Margot Robbie.
Yeah, she's good.
She's, yeah, also super hot.
Good point. Tom?
I'm going to throw my girl Brooke Satchwell
thumbs up. From Neighbours, right?
Yeah, but she went on to do some really cool dramas
and
stuff.
She was in
Police
Rescue.
Yeah, that's exactly
not
what I'm thinking.
Not Police Rescue, Rats.
They're all the same.
They're all the same.
Is she in that Sea Change thing now?
Yes.
Like Sea Change still going?
She was a play school. Presenter.
She was. She's dipped her toe in plenty of the Aussie scene.
Play school is my dream job.
It's a cushy job, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Claudia Carvin. I've always liked her in stuff. I liked her in that show, setting St. Kilda with Deborah Mailman, The Secret Life of Us.
Yeah, I get that mixed up with something about pants.
Something about
pants.
And I met her once and she was really super nice and I interviewed her on my phone and I just thought I was super cool.
What was that movie that she was in with?
Heartbreak Kid?
With Toni Collette. Is it Muriel's?
She's not in Muriel's.
Something, and they're both hanging out in the cross or something like this. I remember there's a lot of stuff in a video store.
Oh, no, that's Muriel's.
That's Muriel's?
But Claudia Carvin's
Rachel
not
Rachel
I'm thinking
Griffith.
Rachel Griffith.
Yeah. Favourite, have we all done that?
Yes.
Okay, favourite Aussie actor, Nabil?
Heath Ledger. Oh, yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Absolute legend. Steph?
I changed my mind. I started with Hugh Jackman because he's the triple threat, but I think I'm going to go with Hugo Weaving because he is an actor.
Wait, he's Australian too?
Yeah.
Stop it, damn it. Yeah. The good ones are from here.
I'm so angry about
it. We know.
It.
You're
God.
Here too, don't worry.
I had no idea so many actors in Hollywood, like A-listers, were Australian until I started dating my wife a few years ago, and she's Australian.
Yeah.
And we'd go watch a movie and be like, do you know he was pretty much the only one I knew was Australian? Was Hugh Jackman. Everybody else I thought was not. Yep. She's like, Russell Crowe, you know he's Australian? I was like, shut up. She's like, yeah, he is. Hugo
he's
Weaving.
New Zealand.
Now Hugo. Oh, well, you Russell guys Crowe. Claim
he's
him,
like,
though.
He's like Pavlova. Yeah,
well, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. He's, oh, don't get into
don't
it.
Don't get into
yeah,
it.
Don't mention Pavlova. We said it once. We got away with it. Tom.
Can I guess who yours might be?
Go.
Is it Alan Dale?
Yes.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
Based on the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely. Mr. Jim Robinson himself from Neighbours. Tom, have I asked you? Now I'm confused.
No, mine is David Wenham. He's in the second Lord of the Rings film and the third one, and Getting Square.
Wait, what is he? Which character does he play?
Have you seen Getting Square?
No, but Lord of the Rings, I know.
He plays one of humans' guys in Isendor. Isendor.
Otherwise known as humans.
I can't remember.
Is he one of the brothers, like the princes or whatever?
No, I can't remember.
Okay. Isn't he in Rake?
He is Rake. But when they have that fight in the second film, I think in the destroyed city of Isengard or something like this, and the Nazgul are flying down and swooping, he's one of those guys and stuff. Trust me.
I think I know who you are. Yeah.
He plays the offsider in the Hugh Jackman version of Van Helsing.
I think it's Boromir. I think that's the character.
That is the name.
Well. Isn't that Sean Bean?
No. I'm gonna have to look this up now.
I'm pretty sure he's Boromir, isn't he?
Lord of the Rings. Let's see. Pulling it up. All right. We'll circle back to it. I'm going to find it.
Well, mine is a close call between the dad in the castle and Bubby in Bad Boy Bubby.
Wait, which one's Bad Boy Bubby? Have I seen that?
If you've seen it, you'd remember.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen it. I thought you can say Bud Tingle for a second.
Oh, Bud Tingle.
Has anyone seen Bad Boy Bubby
not
here?
A classic. I haven't. Have you?
Not in 20-something years.
Classic Australian film.
All right. Looks like we're from home.
Can I just say,
disturb you.
Can I say, put that in that category of classic Australian film in the same way that, do you know With Nail and I? And With Nail and I is one of those things that you either fucking love and think it's the best thing ever or want to kill anyone involved making that film in five minutes. That's what this is, the Australian version.
It's kind of like the precursor to Human Centipede.
Oh. So Bud Tingwell was definitely not in
terms of shock value.
Have we all done the actor?
Yes, and we have confirmed David Wenham was Faramir.
Faramir.
Boromir's brother.
Right.
And Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Phew.
It has
teamwork,
been
bro. That was good. That was good.
What's been your watching highlight this year, Nabil?
Something I actually can't believe I spent my entire 20s not watching until just last month, The Princess Bride. I couldn't believe I took that long to watch it. Really great movie. Film. I totally get why everyone pines over that one.
And why we don't want a remake.
Yes. Totally get. I think that was the reason I watched it, actually. It's because that came up and they're all about the remake.
Sure.
And
everyone's concerned. For me, it was a particular moment at about the 2:42 mark in Avengers Endgame when someone finally picked something up that I've been waiting since 2014 for a joke to be paid off. And it doesn't just pay it off, but it might be the most emotionally crowd-driven moment of any film I've ever seen. 100%. Of it just, you suddenly get a cinema full of people who have an emotional catharsis that they didn't know was coming. Yeah. And it gives you hope, and at the same moment, if you've watched enough time, the framing of it clearly spells out what's about to happen.
Oh, man. So good. And so good.
It beautifully summarizes this moment and gives you hope and then just instantly reminds you that things have to get a lot worse before they can get better.
And then somebody else says, ha-ha, I knew it.
I knew it.
They're the worst. Lins.
Best documentary was The Great Hack.
That was a good one.
Directed by two Egyptians.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good collaborators on there. The visual effects and the titles were amazing.
I love that documentary.
Very good. For casual viewing, Queer Eye can never go wrong.
Yeah, it's always a happy show.
And I haven't seen it yet, but it's going to be my highlight of the year.
You can sense it.
I really need to see the new Hustler film.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be really
good. That was really good. This, I will confirm, I mean, it's subjective, but I will confirm, is the sexiest Jennifer Lopez has ever been in her life.
Oh, dude, I don't know.
It's incredible, dude. Like, did you watch it?
No, not yet. But like, I've found her very, very sexy at points. So you're setting a very high benchmark.
What's that film where she's in Anaconda it's unbelievable. Or something? Like
oh
that.
Yeah.
And she's like,
she's not sexy. In
no, she's not sexy.
She's
in that
like,
one.
No.
No.
I mean,
isn't she submerged?
By normal
boobs?
Human being standards, no. She is sexy. By J Lo standards,
no,
she's not.
She stays out of the water.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, it's Owen Wilson that spends most of the time in the water. And then inside a snake, and he swims swims past the camera, and you can see Owen's fucked up nose inside the snake.
Yes. Steph.
I'm going to say Unbelievable, which was the TV series on Netflix about a serial rapist going around, and it was very...
That's not what I was expecting
you
to go for.
No, it was not what I... That's heavy. Not a documentary. It was a very heavy show, and I know lots of TV has become a bit politically correct with showing different ages, races, weights, all those sorts of things. It had that, but I really liked the spin on it. It made you think about life and culture and how people are, you know, just tarnished with a brush despite their own adversities and things like that. And this end, the spin, and, you know, I'll give you a spoiler, like they catch him, but it didn't become about the guy's defense or anything like that. He was not even part of it. He was just found, and it was always about the victims. And it was a really interesting show. That's my one.
Nice.
All right, we've got a few questions left here. This one I think is a fun one, and I want Linz to go first because I'm pretty sure I know what her answer is going to be. If you had to go on a reality show, which one would you pick?
Yes, you do. So I want to go and I want to be a dance mum, but I just don't think Shay's cut out for it. I am. But
you're ready.
I'm
done
ready.
Training.
I'm ready. But
she's not cutthroat enough.
No, she's a poser dancer. Mm. So she does musical theatre instead. So as I'm not going to be on Dance Moms, I'll say Come Dine With Me.
Oh, that was mine, Linz. I love Come Dine With Me. No, don't be sorry. Like that, I got to a point where like that was the show that Mum and I always watched together. Like I actually still have a whole heap of them recorded.
What's it about? I don't know this show.
So it's usually four people.
It's MasterChef for the everyday.
Okay. Yes. Nice.
Let me surmise it as a non-English person.
Okay.
Four dead shit English people cook dinner for each other. It takes turns. They go one night to one person's house,
party.
The next one.
Yeah.
You've got to cook the best meal you can with no help. You don't get supplied anything. It's what you've got.
A lot of them are, you know, packet gravy and...
So let me get this. It's and regular people cooking average food.
Yes. Yeah. And one of those people...
So good.
1,000 pounds.
One of those people will become unintentionally antagonistic to the rest. One of them always loses their cool, and another one reveals themselves to be lacking personality.
Oh, wow.
So at the end of every episode, the guests for that night have to go and score that night out of 10.
Not just for food. Oh. Like for entertainment, ambiance. You know, how much ambiance do you
hosting
have in your
skills.
Own
and
dining
it's,
room?
It's very interesting to see the mix because they will generally put one person in their 20s and at least one that would be 60 plus.
Yeah,
and
these people would not hang out.
No, and the 60 plus person always feels entitled to snoop around the house while the young person's cooking the meal.
I'm going
to
say this is a white people show.
Yeah. It's such a white people show.
Let me just tell you the countries that it's been quite popular in. They've had franchises. Australia, we've had a few seasons with James Valentine as the narrator
makes it.
The narrator hates these people.
Yeah,
he hates them all.
And
great.
He just, oh, look, Terrence is in the kitchen making something. It's that sort of vibe.
There's been South Africa. That one's been all right. Not too bad. Yeah. The Canadian one was quite good. I like that. They're all very polite.
Come dine with me, eh?
And that's right. And then there was a Greek one, which used to be on SBS. I used to watch that one as well. It was pretty
smashing.
Good.
Smashing.
Yeah, it was very good. So that would be our answer.
Mm. Very nice.
Nice.
Steph?
I did think long and hard about this.
Does it involve a boat?
No, but oh, yeah. Okay. That's
there was below so deck many for those playing from. At home.
Yeah. Only I'd be on Below Deck as a guest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because you're not dealing with Hannah or Kate.
I don't want to clean people's bathrooms.
But can I ask a question? If you had to be on Below Deck and you had to be staff, would you be interior or exterior?
Interior.
And which captain would you prefer?
Captain Sandy.
Captain Sandy's the nicest.
Anyway, back to which one I was going to choose because I did think about this one.
Mm.
Okay, so if I want to be on a reality television show, I kind of want to win some money because I don't want to just go on and have, you know, new idea have a go at me. So I thought, no, I'm going to walk away with something. And then I thought, what are the chances of me actually winning the prize money? I couldn't do Survivor or anything like that. So I thought, okay, I'm going on The Block because everybody walks away with cash. I mean, unless your place is really bad, you don't have to win to be the only people who win the money. So I'm going on The Block.
Very nice.
Smart.
Thought about it. Nabil?
Survivor, hands down.
Yeah, okay. You do it.
I can
go that million.
I can see you rocking that.
100%. I'd love to be on Survivor. I actually did apply for Survivor. And during the application, which is very long, and you have to create like a video and stuff, which I also did, it says at some point, you cannot be, it's like in the T's and C's, you cannot be working for any media organization when you're applying for this show. And I was at the time, as you well know, working for SBS. I was like, yeah, don't care. Maybe they'll disregard that. Maybe they'll find my application so good.
Yeah, they're just like,
they'll
we
make
need
an exception for
we
me.
We need him.
Yeah, they didn't.
I have three because I couldn't decide because one, I'm not sure if it falls into the category of actual reality television. To be on for an episode, I'd want to be on Tanked and getting a fancy fish tank made
That'd be
for
good.
Me.
Nice.
To be a contestant, I would want to be on Making It.
Yeah.
With
that
Amy
one's
Poehler
great.
And Nick Offerman with the craft-based competition. But if I had to be on a show, I'd want to be on a hidden camera show. Like Impractical Jokers.
I love Impractical
that's
Jokers.
That's my jam.
Oh, like, my jam
I'm
too.
Obsessed with that show.
So good.
I'm considering going on the Impractical Jokers cruise next year.
Oh, you
Wait,
should.
They have a cruise?
They
Please.
Do a four-day cruise. Goes from Miami down to the Caribbean and back.
Nabil and Tom.
I'm so down.
It's just comedians and podcasts for 4 days straight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to talk about this.
Yeah, this needs to be discussed because I want this to be filmed. By Nabil, because you'd be the one that would remember.
That was three.
That was good. They Thanks. Were good. They were all
you
very
You can see
different.
Why I couldn't. They
you'd
scratching
thought about
different
it.
Itches.
Yeah, absolutely. Favorite musical? Tom.
Well, I've, as a whole, hate musicals, but I love
Categorically.
Categorically, I have a great, it just pulls me out of a film completely when a character starts singing. So I can't suspend my disbelief through that. However, South Park and Team America World Police.
Team America.
Have some of the best musical songs in anything. They earworms. I will put Book of Mormon in there, even though it's not a film yet. But it will be eventually. For my money, I don't think anyone writes musical songs that get under my skin more than those guys.
Good pick.
Thanks.
Wow.
Nabil.
I wear this as a badge of honor.
Oh.
Okay.
Dreamgirls.
Nice.
I
like that one.
Because you know why I like it? Because you said you hate the suspension of
within the character.
Because the story is about them being singers. So a lot of the singing is happening on stage. It's in context. It makes sense. Goes with the story.
Totally. Yeah. I'll allow it. I'll 8 Mile. Same
yes.
thing. It's about singers. Yeah.
Lins.
Well, I am a musical fiend.
Yeah, I was going to say yours is going to be good.
I don't even care what you think. If you think I'm lowbrow, I'm going to wear it. Lil Superpowers.
Yeah.
We've said it
a million times. Well, the songs are good, so that makes sense.
But anything from the 80s, especially musicals.
What about you?
Well, I'm with Lins
and
completely opposite to Tom. That even in my normal life, I sing the whole way through my day. I put
Wouldn't
the kettle on, I make up a song about it. So really, there is not a bad musical for me. I love Legally Blonde, Cats, Wicked, Chicago.
That was mine. Chicago, the
you
film,
the
is amazing.
I don't care.
Wait, Legally Blonde is a musical?
Legally Blonde became a musical.
It became a stage musical. It's not a movie musical.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking you're talking about the movie. I'm like, I don't
is there a
song?
Yeah, it's
basically
Please tell me, is there a song in that goes bend and snap?
Yes.
Bend and snap. It has to be.
There is.
Did you say chorus line?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't, but yes.
Because the film, I'm pretty sure, has Michael Douglas as the director.
Really?
I think. The Watchers Podcast at gmail.com if I'm wrong. Did you say all of yours?
I could keep going.
Oh,
I'll stop.
Okay. Yeah, let's stop. And the final question is the greatest TV theme song, Nabil.
Gargoyles, the Disney animated series. So good.
Did you hear the good news this morning? It is confirmed that all of it
Shut
is
up.
Going to be on Disney Plus.
Oh my God.
I know you thought I was going to say it's coming back.
Yeah. I know. I thought the live action remake, which this, I think, if done well by Disney, could be phenomenal.
I believe it's their intention to test the waters by putting it on Disney Plus, seeing the ratings that it gets.
Okay.
And that will determine the budget that the film gets.
Oh. So watch it.
Yes, I will.
Give it some love.
Steph.
This is lowbrow. But the Brady Bunch.
It is a good theme song, though. Yeah, like it actually sets up the whole entire episode, like the show for
every
you.
Every single
the premise.
Time.
Every time. Linz?
See if you can guess this from my rubbish impression. You
okay.
Bing, 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 bing.
Is it Baywatch?
Yes.
That was my first thought. And I was like, I don't want to say too early.
My bings were off.
You should have had us all try to like hum our favorite theme song.
Mine you'd get straight away. I'll do it then. I just think that's a good I just think it's such a great theme, and the opening where they show all the different areas in Westeros is just great. Game of Thrones, if you didn't know. Tom. Oh, I'm singing a different song.
Oh, I know this.
I'm walking on air.
That is a great song.
Greatest American Hero.
I never watched the show, but I knew the song.
Who could it be?
Who is it?
Believe it or not, it's just me.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Thank you very much, everybody, for doing all of your homework. That was very good.
Jeez, good
that was,
work,
that
everyone.
Was a lot
Thanks,
of work.
Guys. This was really fun.
That was so fun.
Can I say just congratulations on an amazing podcast.
Thank you.
I drive a lot, and this is always my go-to for English podcasts because I also listen to Arabic podcasts. It's just so great. And for you guys to make it to your 100th episode, thank you so much for inviting me. And for inviting me to the other episode.
Yes.
Always a good time with you guys. And just real quick, could you tell us about these candles right here?
Okay.
She brought some candles.
I bought some candles for a cake, and I had to get 100. And
why?
Because 100, right? So I put them down on the counter, and the lady went, 100 years old. What an achievement. Are they still they're still pretty sprightly? I'm like, now I can't say that's a podcast. That's it's gone too far.
Oh, that's where you go all in and be like, yeah, Grandmaster
that's
Bones.
I said, yeah, such an inspiration, like still with it and everything. She's like, that's so lovely. Well, have a wonderful time. I was like, thanks.
Don't let Nana spit on the cake when she blows out the candles.
I'm never going into that shop.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, now you can never go back.
No, I'm never going in.
You know what you should do, actually? Go back next week and start buying black items. Ask if they have any armbands for mourning.
Well, you got to look out for the same cashier, Lee.
Yeah. I remember her. She's etched in my brain. Nabil, did you want to do a shout out for your Arabic podcast?
Sure, yeah. If there are any Arabic speakers out there, please check out Min Al Akhir podcast, which is a weekly podcast. It's
about all different things.
Yeah. Like we had one episode about why 80s nostalgia, like why is that the thing right now?
I love that.
We just did one, like you said, about Joker and the psychological effects. Can films really make someone shoot up people?
Mm-hmm.
Antinatalism is a topic we're tackling. Things like that. The topics are completely random. It's me and my very good mate, Heba Qassoua. And we do it together. Comes out every Thursday. Check it out on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you, Nabil.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linz.
Yo.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
And Tom.
Stacking those fat hundreds, yo.